God is good. Hallelujah. Songs like that, singing and worship like that is meant to lift our hearts up to the Lord. It did me. I hope it did you too. Lift your heart up to God. He is worthy. All right, let's just for a moment here take our verse tonight and hear what the youth have to say about it. Our challenge verse. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Remember Lot's wife"? What are we supposed to learn from Lot's wife? Take a few minutes and hear from the young people. Disobedience. Okay. In the back, go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry? The results of loving the world. She looked back and loved the world. God's judgment on disobedience. Any over here? Okay. She looked back. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back in your life. Rebellion against God. God had said, don't look back. Head for the mountains. Did not have her whole heart set on God. Very good. Saw one over here, I think. Okay, in the end. He who looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said. Was there one back there? Okay, not trusting God for the future. I'm sorry? Took her sights off of her goal. Starting but not finishing. Amen. Okay.
Keep her eyes on the Lord.
Keep her eyes on the Lord. Amen. Very good. A lot of lessons. You know, it was such a grief to God's heart when Israel kept looking back to Egypt. And wanted to go back to their bondage. Let's learn a lesson from that. Okay, the challenge verse for tomorrow night is, Paul told Timothy, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." What is the spirit of fear? In what way, maybe just to give a little bit of an explanation here, in what way are young people affected by the spirit of fear? Okay? For God has not given unto us the spirit of fear. What is a spirit or the spirit of fear? Thank you. All right, let's stand in God's presence again. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, thank you that you're real tonight. Lord, you care for your people. You have feelings for us, Lord. You're the Almighty God of heaven, and yet you dwell with the contrite and lowly ones, Lord, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you can be touched tonight through Jesus with the feelings of our infirmities, Lord, and thank you that you're a personal God, and thank you, Lord, that you see us here in this meeting, this gathering, Lord, and along with all the other peoples of the world, you see us all, God, and God, we thank you that you care for us tonight here. And we do pray to you in Jesus' name for the outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, upon us. Look down upon us in mercy, God. We don't deserve it, but we need it, Lord. And we come before you asking for your blessing upon the preaching of your precious word. God, it's not my word, and I earnestly desire, Lord, only to be a minister of the gospel, only to tell tonight what you've already said, God, and to bear forth your heart. Oh, God, that is my desire tonight, to bear forth the heart of God to this assembly here tonight. Help me to do that, God. Oh, Lord, I want to do nothing more than that tonight, God, is to bear forth your heart. Help me, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I tried to still my heart before the Lord today in trying to discern what He would have me share tonight with us, I reflected back over some of the messages that have been coming to us here throughout the day from the brothers that are preaching here in the mornings, and just what God is doing, what God is saying. And I had a burden on my heart to impress upon us what's on God's heart. God would have a lot of things to tell us here, but I wanted to impress upon our hearts tonight what would be on God's heart. So I just sat there and waited and prayed and asked God to just give me a glimpse of His heart. And as I just quieted my heart before God, it seemed that if I heard right from the Lord, He would have me to speak. The title of the message that is on my heart tonight is A Cry from the Heart of God. A Cry from the Heart of God. God is real tonight. God has feelings for us. We can verify that from the Scriptures. And there is a cry that I have been picking up throughout even this week. And as I thought about the Scriptures and all that God has given to us, I could clearly hear a cry from the heart of God. No, I did not hear an audible voice, but I heard a cry from the heart of God. And it's been a cry for a long time on the heart of God. It goes all the way back to creation, all the way back to the garden there where God said to, I believe, Jesus and the Holy Ghost and all the heavenly hosts that were with Him. God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." God said that. And then it goes on to say, "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed in that garden there in Eden." And I'm sure you're very familiar with that account. And I'm not sure how long following it was, but the devil came in there, the subtle serpent came in there, and he deceived Eve. And it says, "She took of the fruit thereof and ate, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou?" And I hear in that call from God to Adam, I hear in there a cry of broken fellowship. And I believe you would probably agree with me that man was the crowning creation of all creation, and God so created him as to have fellowship with him. God walked and talked with Adam and Eve, I believe, and this day that fellowship was broken. And God had a cry on his heart, Adam, where art thou? And they told him, they hid themselves because they were afraid of God. And there was a cry in the heart of God, I believe, that there something has happened. There is a distance between us. And I don't know if we can fathom tonight the magnitude, the greatness of the pain that must have been in the heart of God when that happened. God made man a creature of choice, unlike the rest of creation. You know, the cows moo and the dogs bark, and all the animals that had made, how he made them did what he made them to do, but he made man to choose to obey him. He made man to choose to worship him. He made man to choose to give honor to God. And by doing so, I believe it's the highest degree of honor we can give is when man, who could choose otherwise, chooses to give God honor. That is the highest degree of honor. I mean, the cattle and all that God's creation gives him glory and gives him praise. But when man, who can choose to either honor or not, when man chooses to do that, it gives God the highest degree of pleasure and honor. I believe that. I'm safe in saying that. Well, God's heart, I believe, was broken that day. And because of His holiness, He had to drive them out of the garden. And you know, the story from there is that man separated from God. And even though I believe we see right away where Abel offered up his sacrifice and it was accepted by God, there was still some sense of connection there between man and God, but very, very different as before. And I got to thinking about different scriptures that talk about the cry from the heart of God. And listen to this cry from the heart of God in Malachi 1 verse 6. It says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? This is coming from the heart of God. If I'm your father, where is my honor? If I'm a master, where is my fear? We hear the cry of God from the heart of God through the prophets. Down through the ages, he said through Isaiah, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. And I'm sure you would agree with me tonight, our transgressions were indeed as a thick cloud to God. He says, I have blotted them out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sin. Return unto me. Come to me, for I have redeemed thee. A cry from the heart of God. In Jeremiah 3 verse 12 and 13, God says through the prophet Jeremiah, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, and I'm saying them tonight to us, return, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. There is a cry coming from the heart of God for people to give Him honor, for people to return to Him. You know, when I thought about this, God is not going to force Himself upon anyone. He could, but He's up there just saying how good He is, and He's laying the deal out to us, and He's saying, return, come back to me. I know your transgressions were a thick cloud, but return to me, come back to me. I want to have fellowship with you. a cry from the heart of God. God will not force Himself upon anyone. But we hear His cry here, and we hear it there, down through the ages, a cry from the heart of God. Choose to come back to Me. Choose to come back to Me. I will forgive you. Choose to return to Me. I have redeemed you. This is a cry from the heart of God. We see it in the life of Jesus. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 19 tonight, we see the heart of God coming out through the life of Jesus very clearly in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. The same heart is there. You know, in God, down through the ages, He sent His prophets and they stoned and killed them. And like the parable He gave, He said, last of all, you know, I'll send My Son. They will reverence My Son. They will respect My Son. I'll send Him all the while by the prophets and by Jesus. He was trying to draw men unto Himself. He's not going to force Himself upon people, but look what He did. He sent the prophets and they slayed them. And He said, I'm going to send My Son. Surely they will reverence Him. And here in Luke 19:41, we have Jesus, and He's up on the hill and He's overlooking Jerusalem. And it says in verse 41, when He was come near, He beheld the city and He wept over it. You see the cry coming from the heart of God as He looked down over the city of His own dear people. And He wept over it. And look, the words that come out of His mouth saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee and thou shalt not leave and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Oh, how sad. You know, God lays it out, but He doesn't. You know, He can slip by and we can miss the opportunity of visitation like they did here. You know, God pled with them. Jesus wept tears over that city. A cry from the heart of God. I believe God's heart bleeds as He offers to all eternal life. God's heart bleeds tonight as He offers to all eternal life, as He offers peace, as He offers joy. You can have peace and joy tonight. The offer is out tonight. Amen. The offer is out this evening for you to have eternal life, for you to have peace, for you to have joy. And this great Creator God in heaven cares enough about you tonight. He cares about you, my friend. And He's offering it to you tonight. Yes, He cared about the big nation of Israel, but I believe it's safe to say He cares as much for the individual tonight. God, you are precious in God's sight, let me tell you. And His offer to you is eternal life, peace, joy. And His heart bleeds tonight because you won't take it. You won't take it. His heart bleeds. He has the same heart tonight. Hear the cry of His heart from the words of Jesus. Come unto Me. Come unto Me. He's not going to come and throw a lasso around your neck and drag you to the altar and drag you to Himself. The heart cry of Jesus tonight is, come. Come unto Me. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. I'm telling you tonight, my friends, this is a personal invitation to everyone here. Come unto Me. Come unto Jesus. a personal invitation. Let's bring it down to our day here. Today we so clearly heard the cry from the heart of God coming through our brothers as they stood up here today with tears trickling down their face. That was the heart of God. That was the heart of God. Tears trickling down over their face as they related to us the stories of God and the happenings in the Bible. As they felt for this congregation, it was the heart cry of God coming out of them. We heard so clearly today as our brothers stood before us with tears trickling down their cheeks, once again laying before us the way of life or the way of death. Which one will it be? The same old feelings from the heart of God. You know, Brother Leonard preached this morning on sowing to the Spirit or sowing to the flesh. God is laying the choices out for us. And his heart cry is, choose life. Choose life. Choose to sow to the Spirit. You know, God, He just keeps coming through, laying it out, pleading, a cry from His heart. A cry from His heart. Brother Mark stood up here with tears running down his cheeks. Which way are you going to choose? Are you going down the steps or up the steps? Down the steps is the easy way. You know, the broad way is the easy way. Many are on the broad way. Or are you going to choose to come up the steps? God is laying the way out before us. It was coming from God's heart. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction. Same as what Brother Leonard was teaching, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption, you will reap destruction. Here it is, Jesus saying, enter in at the straight gate. Make a choice. Honor God. Bless God's heart tonight by choosing life. Stop digging in your heels. God's heart is crying for you. Take the step and hear the heart of cry. Jesus said, the broad way leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. It is true, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. And I want to make sure that I'm one of those few that find it. It's an upward climb. It takes energy. You can float down the stream with all the other dead fish, but it takes a live fish to go upstream. Yes, it does. Which way will you choose tonight, my friend? Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, God says, listen to God's heart. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Yes. Choose life. God is laying out the choice for us. A cry from the heart of God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15 and we'll see a beautiful picture of the heart of God here in Luke chapter 15. We have a picture here of the heart of God. There's a few pictures in the Bible and this is one of them, a very clear picture of the heart of God concerning the lost sheep and the wayward and the backslidden. The beautiful picture of the heart of God in Luke 15. We find it in Luke 15 verse 11 where he says, there was a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We have a very beautiful picture here of the heart of God. I believe this father here is a type of God. I don't know how you feel about God. If you're a bit afraid of Him, let me ask you tonight, are you secure in the Father's love? Are you secure in the Father's love? Or do you fear? Aren't you sure? Aren't you sure about your salvation? Are you unsettled? Or are you secure in the Father's love? Do you think you have committed too many sins for the Father to really love you? Well, God knew all that. God knew we would feel that way. And I believe He put this in here for that reason. And He gave us a type here of a father who had a son, who all we are. And he blew it. He went out and he lived it up and he wasted his life. He blew it. He went a far way off. You know, sin wants to make you go far away from all the familiarities. Far away. That's what sin does. And I like to point out a few things about this father's heart. It says here in verse 20, he rose, talking about the son, he rose in the pig pen there and he made his way home. And it says, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. That tells me that father's life did not go on as before, as long as his son was out there, lost. I believe that father stood there on that road and he watched down that road. Or else he positioned himself in such a place that he could easily watch down that road. And one day, way down that road, he saw someone coming and it walked like his son. It didn't look like the one that left, but it looked like his son, the way he walked. His clothes were tattered and, you know, he didn't have his sack on his back of his inheritance. That was gone. But there was something that he saw that looked like his son. And he saw him a far way off. He saw him a long way off. And look what it says next. It says, he had compassion and ran. Can you see that father running down the road? Can you imagine what the servants thought? Whatever came over him? There he goes. I don't know if they had figured out what he saw, but he ran. This is the heart of the Father. This is how He views you if you're here tonight, backslidden, astray, not saved, not born again. He's got His eye on you like this father had. Yes, He does. God's heart is bleeding for you and He's watching you. Will you come tonight? Will you come home tonight? He's watching. And I promise you, if you come with a broken heart, He'll meet you here. He'll meet you here tonight. He will. This is a picture of the heart of God. It says He ran. He ran. What does it say next? He beat him up? No, He fell on his neck. He loved him. He kissed him. This is the heart of God. Fell on his neck. Oh, my son, I'm so glad to see you. He will tell you that tonight too. Will you get up and head home tonight? Maybe you're here and you're saying, well, I never ran away from home. I never wasted my inheritance. Well, that may be true. But if you are not born again, if you are not secure in God's love, you are still like a sheep gone astray. The Bible says it's not only those that ran away and wasted their inheritance, but it says all we like sheep have gone astray. Amen? Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you have not been born again and touched by God's Spirit, God is still watching and longing, and his heart is still crying for you to come. Maybe you've been raised in church. Maybe you went to church all your life. But God wants your heart. He wants your heart like he wanted the heart of the prodigal son. Look what happens here in verse. Look what happens next. Look at the humble attitude in verse 21. This, if you bring this attitude, you will find blessings from God. You will be changed. After the son gets a hold of himself and the crying probably is over and they gather their composure, the son finally says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. What a humble attitude. You know, but that so moved the heart of his father. Filled his father's heart with love. And look what he did. He just lavishes so much more love and respect and honor upon this come home boy. It says, bring forth the best robes. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And that's exactly what God wants to do to you tonight. If you do not know the Lord, he wants to give you a new set of clothes. A robe of righteousness. It's called salvation. It will fit you perfectly. You can leave your old sinful, sin, worldly garments behind, and God wants to give you a new set of clothing. These clothing, they probably still reek like the pigs, like the pig pen. But his father gave him a brand new one. Praise God. Put a new robe on him. They made a feast. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was indeed dead. He knew that. And he is alive again. Yes, we see clearly the heart of God here. What are some hindrances that keep people back from coming to a loving God? I want to ask that question tonight. What are some hindrances? I know, I well remember the day when I met the Lord. And like I've heard many other testimonies like it, that I figured everyone would understand. God's love was so great, so real, so exciting. You know, I just figured people would understand. God had changed and touched my heart. But I soon found out it was not that way. But what are some of the hindrances from people coming to the Lord? Let me list a few here tonight. One of them, I believe, we can clearly see in the Scripture is simply deception. The Bible says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. If you're here tonight and you're practicing sin and you're thinking, well, I can get by with it. I know how far to go with it. I can handle a little bit of it. Sin is deceitful. And sin will keep you from coming to the Lord. You need to reckon that. If you are in sin, you need to be willing to confess it. You need to be willing to lay it out tonight. In order for the light to shine into your heart, you need to be willing to take the lid off your heart and open your heart up, because sin is deceitful. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, "Brother Elvin, I've tried this before. And you know, I went to the altar and I accepted the Lord, and you know, it's not there. It doesn't work." Do you have sin in your life? Do you know? Is there a room in your heart that you have not opened up to the Lord? Sin is deceitful. Yes, it is. And it will keep you from coming to the love of God and being secure in His love. I'm talking about more than joining a church tonight. I'm talking about coming back in fellowship with your Creator. Yes, I'm talking about how God wanted it to be in the beginning, that you can walk and talk with God and be secure in His love. That's what I'm talking about. We want you, God wants you to be secure in His love. And you must be willing to do what the prodigal did. I'm no more worthy. I'm a mess. He didn't try to hide anything, did he? His life was wide open. And he found acceptance, didn't he? Tell me, was he secure in his father's love? Was he? Absolutely. He was very secure in his father's love. There he sat with his father, just tears running down his cheeks and smiling from ear to ear, and his arm around his neck, and he's got a new robe on, he's got a ring on his finger, he's got shoes on his feet. He felt accepted. And God's heart is bleeding tonight. Though you may have some religion, though you may have a lot of knowledge, are you secure in the love of God tonight? And I'm not just talking to the students tonight here either. Father, mother, are you secure in the love of God? His heart is crying, "Return unto me, O backsliding Israel. Return unto me, O backsliding person here tonight. Come back to me. I want you." Oh, I thought of that. I want you. You know, sometimes you walk into the post office and you see this scary looking thin man with a tall hat, and he's pointing his finger at you, and they have, "Uncle Sam wants you." That's not the picture with God tonight, even though He's saying that, "I want you." But He's saying it with the outstretched arms of Jesus and a broken heart and blood on the mercy seat tonight. "Come unto me, I want you." A total picture from that old Uncle Sam man. But God wants you, every one of you. Don't let the devil tell you tonight that you're not important, that you don't matter. God cares for you. God cares for you, and He wants to put a new robe on you tonight. And He wants to shed His love over you. And He wants to make you secure in His love. Oh, this son, even though he couldn't undo his journey out there in the far country and back, he was never sorry that he came home. I don't think so. Hindrance number two is blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into his heart." You know, unbelief brings blindness. If you're here tonight and you are doubting the Word of God, well, you may just sit there for many, many years in your darkness. But won't you come tonight? Won't you believe? Won't you believe the record that God gave of His Son? Amen? Won't you believe and let God take away the blindness of your eyes? Because the God of this world, as long as He can keep you doubting that God really loves you, you'll sit in blindness. That's what the Bible says. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Unbelievers. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. God wants to shine His love in your heart tonight. I'm convinced of that. But you have to come and confess your unbelief. Unbelief is an enemy of God. Unbelief renders God powerless. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even though you may have sat in church and heard many sermons, I ask you in the depth of your heart, are you secure in God's love tonight? Maybe you never had an earthly father to exemplify that to you and to show you what that means. And but I beg you to hear the cry from the heart of God, come unto me. Just come. Put away your doubts. Put away your sin. Put away your unbelief. Trust me. Step out in faith and come. Hindrance number 3 is pride. Pride. Are you simply just too proud to surrender your heart to the Lord? I like to be in the steering wheel or at the reins of my life. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. I believe it's safe to say tonight that you will never be secure in God's love if you don't humble your heart, because God resists the proud. Do you take pride tonight in your abilities, who you are? Maybe how you look, what you can do, your accomplishments. Do you struggle with pride, just old-fashioned pride, and look down over your nose at others that can't do things as well as you can? You need to come and confess that tonight. God's heart is bleeding for you. He's pleading for you. Jesus died so that you can get rid of your pride. Humble yourself in God's sight tonight. Humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up, and He surely will. Your burden indeed will fall off your back, and you will feel as light as you never felt before. If you confess your sins, humble yourself from your pride, you will feel so light. You will feel like jumping, and the sky will be bluer. The trees will be greener. The songs will have new meaning. Oh, how well I remember these old songs that I sang all my life. After my conversion, it was like a sermon being preached to me every time I sang them. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. He will lift you up. That's what that means. He will make you joyful. He will make your burden light. Are you secure in God's love? God is a personal God tonight. He says, I want to be unto you a father and you to me a son or daughter. God is a personal God. He is Creator God, but He's also a personal God. Eternal Father, when to Thee, beyond all worlds by faith I soar. Before Thy boundless majesty, I stand in silence and adore. But Savior, Thou art by my side. Thy voice I hear, Thy face I see. Thou art my friend. Thou art my friend, my daily guide. God over all, yet God with me. And Thou, great Spirit, in my heart dost make Thy temple day by day. The Holy Ghost of God Thou art, yet dwellest in this house of clay. Blessed Trinity, in whom alone all things created move and rest. High in the heavens Thou hast Thy throne. Thou hast Thy throne within my breast. Can you say that tonight, my dearly beloved? Every one of you, can you say that? God of heaven, who inhabits eternity, resides in my breast. I know God. I know God. And we don't have to be proud to say that tonight. No, not at all. It's a blessing to be able to say that God dwells in my heart. That is God's will. That is God's cry down through the ages. Come unto me. Return unto me. Oh, backsliding Israel, come back to me. This is God's heart. Hindrance number four and these aren't necessarily in order of importance here tonight, but do you have the fear of man? This is a really real one, I know, for many of us. But we know that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And we need to fear God and not man. And I would ask you to just consider giving whatever you're fearful about to the Lord. Say, God, I'm fearful of this. If I take this step, then this. If I surrender my all, what about this? Take this and bring it to the altar and say, God, I give You that which I'm fearful about. But I want to be secure in Your love. This is real, my friends, being secure in Your love. It was about maybe 2 years ago, I was with a young man and he was in a religious setting and we knew he wasn't right with God. His wife was, and I was with him out in the shop that day and the Lord so beautifully came upon him and he just looked at me and he said, Elvin, I'm not secure in God's love. I'm not secure in God's love. He said, my wife is, but I'm not. And we took him into the house and we knelt down. Praise God. I'll never forget that day. We knelt down and just as I was ready to pray, the grandfather clock strikes 11. And that day at the 11th hour, he became secure in God's love. It's just that way. Glory. Hallelujah. Are you secure in God's love? Number five. Maybe you're just plain stubborn. And I ask you tonight, will you yield yourself to the cry of God's heart? Will you surrender your will to the Lord? He's a good God. He's a good Father. I promise you. Will you surrender your life to the cry of God's heart? He's looking. He's standing on the crest of the hill on the road. And He's watching. Are you going to come home? Is that you coming? And I tell you, He has all the attributes and more than this father had. He has them all. He's got the robe ready. He's got the ring ready. He's got them all. If you come in that attitude, you'll get them all. Can you say tonight, along with I believe it was Solomon that said, "His banner over me is love." His banner over me is love. Can you say that? Every heart here tonight, in the depth of your heart before your Creator, can you say, "God's banner over me is love"? His heart is bleeding. It's crying. The Scripture says He will joy over you with singing. God wants to joy over you with singing. He wants to put a banner over you, and He wants the reality of that to be love to you. His banner over me is love. Praise God. Yes, God says, "I dwell in the high and holy place." And He does. But tonight, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He is also a very personal God. And He wants to make you secure in His love. Let us pray. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Oh God, thank You for Your heart tonight, Father. Thank You for loving us. For God so loved the world, and that includes me and everyone in here tonight, that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. Oh God, I pray. I tried to discern Your will tonight, Lord. And I thought, I heard this cry from Your heart, and it's what I endeavor to impress upon the congregation tonight, Father. And I pray the Holy Spirit would woo and draw. Oh God, we know You don't force anyone to Yourself, God, but Lord, would You show Yourself lovely to the sinner tonight? Oh God. Oh God, I don't think it took that prodigal son very long to figure out that his dad loved him. That there was no hate in his voice, in his face. Oh God, we could even say just the way he ran with outstretched arms. He knew, the son knew from afar off that his father was coming because he loved him. And I pray that for every soul here tonight that is not secure in Your love, draw them, Heavenly Father, tonight, and make them secure. Every father, every mother, Lord, every Bible school student here tonight, Lord, Father, call with Your sweet voice, "Come unto me." The bride and the Spirit say, "Come." Lord, do that tonight, I pray, Father. The hour is late, the time is far spent. Lord, and as the Old Testament says, there the harvest is past, the summer is past, and we are not yet saved. And if there's anyone here tonight, God, that is not saved, not secure in Your love, we pray that that could happen tonight, dear God. That the sinner would be willing to forsake his sin. We commit the service to You now, God, as we stand in Your presence and sing. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't everyone rise and we just sing? Song leader, have a song. Do you have one?
Song number 898.
Are you secure in God's love? What was it, 898?
little voice calling now to you. Wandering child, oh, come home.
Come home, child, come home. Wandering child, I'm on your road. In my mind,
mocking God? God knows. Are you really secure in His love? I'm going to turn the time over to the moderator. Let him do as he feels led.